The grace of Him who loved us and has freed us from our sins is ours for time and eternity. Amen. We meditate on that section from Ecclesiastes 12. It's the last chapter, verses 1 through 7, printed for you on page 7. So remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the bad days come and the years arrive when you will say, I had no delight in them. Before the sun and the light of the moon and the stars are darkened, before the clouds return from the rain, before the day when the watchmen of the house tremble and the strong men are bent over, and the women who grind the grain cease because they are few, and those watching through the windows can barely see. Then the double doors to the street are shut as the grinding of the mill grows quiet. A person wakes up at the sound of a bird, but all the sounds of music are muffled. Then they fear heights and terrors along the road. The almond blossoms become white, the grasshopper drags himself along, and the caper berry has no effect. Why? Because the man is heading to his eternal home. Then the wailing mourners will go around the street. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is snapped and the golden bowl is broken, before the jar is shattered by the spring and the water wheel is broken by the well, and the dust goes back into the ground just as it was before, and spirit goes back to God who gave it. The word of the Lord, we bow our heads in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock, our redeemer. Amen. My dear Christian friends, when we stand at the gateway of another year, we have certain blessings that come to mind that are ours simply because we are God's people. We are those who have known the Word, who became flesh and dwelt among us. We've seen His glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of God. He's full of grace and truth, and His grace allows us to see through His eyes, through the eyes of the Word, for time and for eternity. You have a whole different view of things, and if you've been blessed with friends over the years who were not believers, you may be found out in an uncomfortable way that you're really blessed by your sight of things. I had a dear Jewish friend that I met in St. Paul one time, big white beard, looked like Santa Claus, and we'd go out for lunch every now and then, but he did not want me to talk about heaven or the hereafter. That was just not something that he could consider. Even told me one time, if you ever want to ruin our friendship, just talk to me about Jesus. And I laughed and I said, you want me to stop breathing? But then there are ways, you know, tell your friend what you were telling your children about. They got to hear it then when you tell them. But he didn't want to hear that eternity stuff. That's scary. And here we've got Moses in a psalm that Luther in one place commenting said, this psalm is not written for those who have fearful hearts and know the Lord and take His word seriously. This Psalm 90 is written for those who are hard-headed and really need to be softened in their hearts to hear and believe and trust in God. And, you know, Moses could see himself as that at one time, and certainly Solomon too, as he looked back on his life. See, we've got that advantage as God's people because we can see time and eternity through His eyes, through His Word. And so we can consider things that some people never would. On the other hand, the advancing years, as Solomon here looks back, have this advantage too, that you can see those crossroads in your life when things look the most hopeless and you felt the most helpless. And somehow looking back, God turned that situation into a blessing. And so often it is something that you, in looking forward before that event, just were hoping it would never happen to you. And then all of a sudden you're in it. And you're crying out to the Lord. And maybe not even realizing until later that at that time you were closer to God than ever before. Than ever in the happy, easy times. When we rely on God, that's when we're close to Him. And those are the times when we have our own stubborn, hard-headedness softened. When that hymn verse, I had to go back and circle that, where we're praying for the Lord to grant us in this new year, keep us in your faith and fear. Oh, we'd all love to have it in the faith. But it's the hard times that give us the fear of the Lord. When we realize how quickly we can mess up, how with all the advantages that we've had, we still are so dependent as children of our Heavenly Father, no matter what age we are on this earth. We need Him to keep us in faith and fear. So His view, time and eternity from the Word, the blessing of looking back. And sometimes, looking back, I guess for some of us it's a bit more. I have here an editorial written by a high school senior, and when he was looking back, it was on seventh grade. Now that seems a little strange. Really? That all looks like pretty much the same thing when you get out to be grandparents, right? I won't look at everybody when I say that. But here's an editorial about a hard time and a blessing from a Christian sister in the faith and from a friend that was needed just then. What a lousy day. Everything seemed to go from bad to worse. Why can't I match up to my own expectations and those of my friends? Why do I feel so totally unneeded and unwanted? Am I as worthless as I feel? I don't know where I'm going or why I'm here. This depression is getting me down. People sometimes think that as Christians, we aren't supposed to have these kinds of feelings. But no matter how often this statement is made or how firmly we believe it, we still get those days when we really feel useless and dejected. Whether those feelings are wrong or not, we're human. As I sat trying to think of a way to overcome these moods, I was taken back to a time years ago when my own worthlessness was getting the best of me. I was in the seventh grade, and like everyone else, I wanted to gain the respect and admiration of my friends. I wanted to do something with my life. I wanted to be somebody. But the more I tried, the more my failure stood out in ugly contrast to my dreams. I didn't know what to do, and I slowly slipped into the lonely shadows of despair. It was my mother who, in her God-given wisdom, saw what was wrong and showed me the light. She gave me a church bulletin written by a pastor who was a friend of ours. It almost seemed that he had written it just for me. The message it contained applies to me and to you, to all of us who know our Savior's grace. Though we have disappointed our friends and ourselves, more importantly, we have disappointed our God. In the midst of all these disappointments and the broken promises, God stands firm like the rocks along the seashore, which even the crashing waves cannot move. We are called to whatever station in life the Lord has placed us. Whether a housewife, accountant, professor, factory worker, miner, student, or shopkeeper, the God who knows us best has put us there to make a contribution to His honor and glory. I should never feel insignificant or worthless. When I am faithful in my work, it is God's work. If it is God's work, His blessing rests upon it. And yet there is more, quoting again from the pastor in that bulletin. I am called into the fellowship of his Son. I don't walk alone. Every enemy that I must face is God's enemy, not mine. Every temptation that besets me is God's temptation, not mine. Every problem I meet is God's problem, not mine. All because I am in fellowship with Jesus Christ. This bond was sealed and signed by his own precious blood on the cross. How good that God's smile rests upon me. Are you walking life's path in a dismal frame of mind? Do you sometimes feel unwanted and alone? You aren't alone. You are wanted and needed. Jesus walks with you right to the gates of heaven. The pastor that wrote that bulletin preached a sermon that had to stick in everybody's mind about his very successful missionary ministry in Africa way back when, and how as things were going so well, he was getting pretty proud of himself. And as he's talking, he's holding up his hands and one of his fingers was missing. He told us why. This was his lesson on pride goes before the fall. While he's thinking about how well he's doing, the axe slipped. Need I say more? Lifetime reminder, but then used for God's glory. As we look back and see God's blessings in some of the worst of times. Sometimes the disappointments are so deep, and it's all pictured here in this picture language, where the streets grow quiet. It's something that the commentators really struggle with. Is this just all about, I don't know why they say a senile old man going into Alzheimer's or something. I mean, it sounded a bit too directed, but that was what they thought. And yet we can all relate to it. When it says the almond blossoms become white, the almond tree was used as, it's really in Hebrew, it means the one that wakes everything up because it blossoms in the springtime. So it's the waker-upper of the spring, and the blossoms turn white. Or the grasshopper drags himself along, getting too cold for the grasshopper. The caper berry has no effect. That was one of the stimulants of ancient times, that's all I'll say, and it wasn't working so well anymore. The times come when there's no delight in them. Whatever it was that seemed so important, those toys we argued about as children, later on, you know, that's no more important in your life than a pacifier, right? That first car that was so awesome to drive around and you look back, it was just a rust bucket. And you don't look back and want it anymore afterwards. That's the way life becomes. Even to the point where it says, the day will come, the years arrive, when you will say, I have no delight in them. No matter how hard your loved ones may try to cook food for you that tastes good, it just doesn't taste anymore. It's the way it goes. And the disappointments, sometimes you just feel like you could find a rock to crawl under, right? But looking in God's Word, that's not who we are. The end of Hebrews chapter 10, just before launching into the great faith chapter, Hebrews 11, the holy writer says, now we are not part of those who shrink back like crawling under a rock, resulting in destruction, but of those who have faith, resulting in the soul's salvation. Instead of climbing under the rock, you climb on the rock, which is Christ. Remember that story about the cabin boy who was found in the morning after the shipwreck? They had to pry his hands off the rock he was holding on so tight. The tide must have gone out because there he was and still holding on, nearly dead. But when they warmed him up, somebody asked him, holding on to that rock all night, were you trembling? And he said, oh yeah, I trembled all night. But the rock didn't move once. The rock which is Christ. And sometimes it just really feels like everybody's dumping on you. I'm pretty sure this is just a story, but I do like it. It's about the old mule who fell into a well. And his master looked down in the well and thought, that mule is so old, I don't want that mule anymore. In fact, this well is dry. I don't need it either. So he calls his friends over with their shovels. Imagine the mule. All that dirt coming down on his head. Feel like that sometimes? Shake it off and step up. That's what he kept telling himself. Shake it off and step up. Shake it off and step up. He kept shaking it off and stepping up until he stepped out of the well in triumph. That's you, dear friends. Because you know the Lord who did not stand back and watch. He got down in the well with us. He became one of us. Our dear brother Jesus, to live in all of this, to suffer the worst of it, and in a beautiful sense, to do what Isaiah said in such picture language, you know, about mother love and comparing God's love to mother love. And can a woman forget the baby at her breast? Yet, yes, she may forget, but I will not forget you. I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. And those hands are still nail pierced. And it wasn't the nails, you know, that could hold him to the cross. It was that infinite love of God that brought him, and the infinite love that kept him there. So with Jesus at your side in another year, whatever's waiting, whatever's coming down, Christ is there with you. It's not just to make you feel good. It's to bring you home to glory, that he teaches us to shake it off and step up, that he teaches us to cling to the rock, which is Christ. We have before us, breaking out in the brightness of God's word this coming week, the Epiphany season, and a long one this year since Easter is about as late as it ever is. Many opportunities to see Christ in his infinite power as God. And you know, shortly thereafter, the Lenten season, when we see his infinite love. He's got everything you and I need. We just need to follow the old preacher's advice. The king who messed up his life with everything the human heart could desire, Solomon in his riches, in his wisdom, in his Hollywood pleasures of sin with a harem. He had it all. But you know what he said at the end? Meaningless. All empty vapor. All my work, and I don't know who will get it in the end, whether it'll be a wise man or a fool. Thank the Lord that he came around, as we understand, and could just tell us this: remember your Creator in the days of your youth. What a blessing to get this message when you're still young. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is snapped and the golden bowl is broken, before the jar is shattered by the spring and the water wheel is broken by the well, and the dust goes back into the ground just as it was before, and the spirit goes back to God who gave it. And his spirit is with us in his word, in his sacrament, in that mercy message of Christ. We have a happy new year as we remember our Creator. Amen.